In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Oh, that's true. Let's all go to the lobby. Alan Adams joining us right here in studio to talk movies on Pass the Popcorn. It's been too long, my friend.
I was going to say, it's been a minute, right?
Yeah. We've missed you.
Oh, and I've missed you guys too.
How have you been?
Good, good. One of the reasons why I've been absent is I've started working an additional gig.
Right, you got a new thing going.
Yep. No, I'm working I'm doing communications whatnot with the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences up there at the University of Maine.
Nice.
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's been a lot, and I'm learning a lot of things, You know, it's something new, and you get to be me and Tom Brady. Like we're trying new things. We're thinking about new things. Which, by the way, I heard you guys talking on the way in here. I assume you heard the rumor that his unexplained absence was because he was a contestant on The Masked Singer, right?
Right, right.
He
joked about it.
Right. I don't know that I heard a no. And that's the thing. I'm looking forward to whenever. I mean, has that show is it airing now? I honestly don't know.
Never seen it, and I don't believe ever will.
It's one of those things where it feels very end times dystopia to me. That sort of show, and I'm just like I'm good. I love Ken Jeong, but it's like get paid, Ken, but you'll be doing it without my support. I'm sure things will be fine for him.
All right, before we talk movies, let's get to the really important thing here. Another season underway of Kibbles and Picks. You're just a glutton for punishment.
It's year 10. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Year 10.
And am I right? You're like 2-6-1 or 2-7?
I'm 2-7.
Oh, yes. Lord. I was trying to give you a tie.
No, I appreciate that. Yes, 2-7. And one of those was the second year. So basically, I have won once in the last seven. At this point I can't, like, at this point, if I stop, it's like, I'm a coward. Like, I'm running away from it. But I will say, we're off to, for me, a great start. Stella's probably a little disappointed.
She didn't pick some of the upsets yesterday.
We actually wound up, we were only at odds on six of the games. I don't know that either one of us, got particularly daring, with our picks, I was right on three. She was right on three. So we're hitting the ground with a tie in week one, and frankly, I assume it's all downhill from here.
More than likely, if history is our guide,
and that's the thing. Those who forget about history are doomed to repeat it. Unfortunately, those who remember history also doomed to repeat it.
We can follow the goings on at themainedge.com.
That's right. I did mention the new gig, but new content still appearing regularly on themainedge.com, including Mike Dow is still writing wonderful, offering up wonderful music stories, interviews, etc., Kibbles and Picks. We've got the movie reviews, book reviews still out there, and live theater reviews as well. So, basically all the stuff that I love to do, I'm continuing to do it because, why stop when you're having a good time?
Exactly. Now you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn and put those newspapers and all those holders around the area.
That's right. I don't, I'm no longer, my wretchedness is no longer ink stained.
All right, let's talk movies. You got a couple that you checked out here. Where do we begin? Do we go Disney or Netflix?
Let's do the Netflix one.
All right.
Sometimes you watch a movie and it answers a question you didn't even know you wanted to ask. And Netflix is particularly good at giving us those sorts of movies because, as we've talked in the past, they have a very very much a fire hose sort of attitude with regard to content. however obscure a question might seem, when you have this sort of infinite monkeys, infinite typewriters energy going, you're gonna get a lot of stuff. So the question that I didn't know I wanted answered until I saw this movie. Just how many over-the-top tropes and cliches can one movie family endure before we move from the realm of the thriller to the theater of the absurd? Well, there's a new movie called End of the Road on Netflix that is doing its darndest to give you an answer to that question. It stars Queen Latifah and Ludacris. It is one of those things where literally everything terrible that happens to regular folks in, you know, these sort of like actiony thriller type movies, it all happens in the space of like 90 minutes.
Wow.
And really, it mostly happens in the space of 45 minutes, because the first 45 minutes, pretty straightforward. And then it turns into a lot. But anyway, so the basic gist is you have a woman named Brenda, that's Queen Latifah. She is getting ready to move from California to Houston to move in with her mother. Her now deceased husband went through a long illness, and so she basically had to sell everything in order to pay for his medical care. She and her two kids they're going to go move in with her mom in Houston, and they're going to drive with what stuff they have remaining. Along for the ride is Brenda's ne'er-do-well stoner brother, Reggie, played by Ludacris, because, of course, you know, you could bill him as Chris Bridges all you want, Netflix. It's Ludacris, and he will always be Ludacris. I mean, we're not quite at Dwayne The Rock Johnson levels, but it's like, yeah, no, you're Ludacris, man. Like, just own it. Anyway, so they're on the road, they start off down the highway, and, you know, things go sideways pretty quickly. They wind up having to take this extensive 85-mile detour. It's very specific. Like, there's a sign that says 85 miles, which apparently I've never heard of a detour that long, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know how public works operates out there on the West Coast. Oh. Maybe that's how this works. But as they're going off onto their detour, we meet a pair of shady-looking characters, a couple of real tough-looking cusses standing out there in the desert, and a helicopter comes in, and a guy gets out, throws a duffel bag at him, and says, "Mr. Cross thinks you're doing a great job," and then he gets back in the helicopter and flies away, and the duffel bag is full of money, and we're like, oh, okay, so these are our shady antagonists. But then one of them is like, you know what? I want this money. I'm going to take it. The other guy's like, no, you're not. And, he takes it. Don't worry, we'll come back to this.
Okay, all right.
So Brenda and the family, they're going through these sort of various small towns with a very particular, we'll say, attitude about people who look like Queen Latifah and Ludacris. I think you could probably you're probably picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
They have an encounter with it's just a ridiculous thing with a couple of hillbillies, and it's just like, okay, you know, she goes and like de-escalates without confrontation. It's like, I don't understand what movie this is, what I'm watching right now. They go through that. They wind up in a motel, and they're staying there. Everything's fine. They hear noise in the room next door. It's like there's a scuffle, and then it's a full on fight, and then there's a gunshot. Oh no.
Ooh.
And so, Brenda, Queen Latifah. I'm gonna try to call her character name, but it's Queen Latifah. She's a nurse, so she runs next door to try to help. On the floor of this motel room, bleeding from a gunshot wound to his neck, is the guy we saw in the desert with the duffel bag. But where's the duffel bag, Rich? Queen Latifah doesn't know, but Ludacris knows.
Oh. He had to.
Yeah. And then we go to the next day. They have left the motel. They've spoken to the police. They've spoken to the authorities, all that. But then the top cop, a guy named, I swear to God, his name is Hammers, played by the inexplicably here for some reason, Beau Bridges, is like, oh, no, like we need to put these people under our protection. Mr. Cross is a bad man, and he could really do some, you know, he could really do some damage to this poor family. But when they reach out, Brent is like, "No, I just want to get to my mom's house. I just want to go. If I think of anything or anything comes up, we'll let you know." And so Captain Hammers, I don't remember what his rank was. I'm going to call him Captain Hammers, goes and he starts looking for them. Rich, it turns out that Mr. Cross, his reach is long. Is very long. And before you know it, Brenda is trapped in this whole situation where it's like she has to figure out how to get the money back to Mr. Cross before something bad happens to her family. But then Mr. Cross is like, you don't make the rules, I make the rules. And then there are neo-Nazis at one point that she has to fight, and then they wind up doing a car chase through the woods. And and people aren't who they seem, and sometimes bad people are good, and sometimes good people are bad, and it's this big chaotic mess for the last like half of the movie, and I don't even know how to finish. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like I don't know how to finish. They didn't know how to finish. Like, nobody knows how to finish. The end of the road arrives very, very abruptly with this movie. Look. All this is not, it's not good. By no objective sort of definition can you say this movie is good, but I gotta say, like, you're sitting there and you're watching it, and the first 45 minutes you're like, oh, this is whatever, it's fine, it's pretty standard sort of Netflix fare. But then you hit that back half and stuff starts happening, and your eyes start to get a little wider. And the corners of your mouth start to curl up a little bit. And before you know it, you are actively laughing at this over-the-top violent absurdity because it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. And you're like, it's like the person who wrote this movie, I'll put wrote in air quotes, basically just watched, it feels like they watched every other action movie and basically just was like, just tried to jam as much of that stuff in as possible. So much of it doesn't make any sense. You're not sure why any of these people are doing the things they're doing. There are a lot of questions with regards to chronology and like everything about this movie is ill-defined. And yet, I can't deny that I enjoyed watching it. it's one of those movies where just be ready to lean into it. Like, it's gonna get weird. Like, I haven't even scratched the surface as with regards to all of the weird cliche tropey things that happen. And just turn your brain off, lean into it, and just be like, you know what? This isn't going to make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? It's a good time. It's a bumpy ride. But you know what? Sometimes the bumps are the best part.
I don't know. It still sounds ludicrous.
There it is. Luda!
Alan Adams talking movies here on Pass the Popcorn. Look, I love me some Tom Hanks, but Pinocchio? Really?
Man, he's in a weird place right now, Mr. Hanks.
Yes,
right?
He is.
Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's just like, this is two in a row of just him, like, an old guy makeup with a ridiculous accent.
Yeah.
At least this one is recognizable as Italian, as opposed to whatever the hell he was doing with Colonel Tom Parker.
What was that?
I still don't understand. I don't claim to understand. But, all right. So, look, the whole Disney live action remake thing, I mean, I get it. Like, these movies have just, they've made a staggering amount of money.
Oh, sure.
You know, and they've really figured out a way to, it's like, Disney already was in the business of cashing in on nostalgia, but they figured out a way to re-cash in on nostalgia, which is indicative of why they're one of, if not the biggest entertainment companies on the planet. Like, they know their audience, and they know how to get, they know how to make things that people will watch. Now, the relative successes of these live action remakes have been spotty at best with regard to quality. There have been a couple that were pretty good. There have been a couple that have been very, very bad. And our latest one, and I believe it is the first one to go exclusively to their streaming service, Disney Plus. It was originally intended to be a theatrical release, but they decided to pivot and put it strictly on their streaming platform as part of their Disney Plus Day celebration. is Pinocchio. He's got no strings to hold him down. Look, the whole issue with all of these remakes, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, is they're all unnecessary.
Yes.
Like, they all feel so inconsequential and inessential. Like, it's like, you already have this classic bit of animated cinema. Like, I don't need to see that same thing again, only with some real people and some computer-generated stuff.
Yeah.
And that's maybe the large issue here, because the script is not very good. You know, they've managed to sort of find the beats from the original film, but it's got none of the charm, none of the soul, you know, and again, it's, you know, let's be real, you know, Robert Zemeckis, who directs and also co-wrote the script, like, that's a dude who lost his fastball a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just not, he is just not, he's not dealing the way he used to. And, like, it shows. Now, don't get me wrong, like, there are actually some pretty solid performances in this movie, both live action and vocal. And it looks, there are parts that look fantastic. It's one of the better executed, like, CGI heavy sorts of films that I think we've seen, particularly from this sort of brand of live action remake. But that's not really enough. Like the aesthetics are great. I love the performances, but if the story doesn't resonate, like, and it's, you know, and it's just like, it breaks your heart to think that there are going to be kids out there. This is their introduction to Disney's Pinocchio.
Right.
And it's just,
right.
And it's such a bummer because that original is so good in so many ways. And again, like, surface level, it's very similar, but like, if you delve even just a little bit deeper, it just doesn't click. I'm not going to sit here and go through like the plot of Pinocchio. Like, if you're listening to this and you are unfamiliar with Pinocchio's plot, first of all, I feel very, very sorry for you. And you should make an effort to go find the, 1940? Is it 1940 that Pinocchio came out?
Around there, yeah.
You know, go seek out the original animated Pinocchio, because that's the one that you really want to see. And that's the one I found myself wishing that I was watching occasionally while I was watching this new one. You know, the basic gist, Italian woodcarver named Geppetto, that's Tom Hanks, carves a marionette that he calls Pinocchio, then makes a wish on a star. A fairy comes down, brings the puppet to life, and then the puppet's like, "I want to be a real boy." And the fairy's like, "Well, it's not that easy." And then off we go. And there's a bug that's the puppet's conscience. Jiminy Cricket, who voiced. And when I saw this, I was kind of floored. This was the one thing that kind of blew me away. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the voice of Jiminy Cricket.
Interesting.
It is interesting, and he's doing something, yep. Because it does not, like, it's, you know, a lot of times when you have these sort of famous vocal castings, it's like, oh, it's clearly so and so, but he's trying to do something, and it's like, you know, good for you, man. Yeah. Like, way to go. So anyway, so Pinocchio goes off on the assorted adventures, and we sort of meet the standard characters along the way. We meet Honest John the Fox, voiced hilariously by Keegan-Michael Key, who's wonderful. You know, he gets sold into puppet slavery at one point, and then, you know, then it's off to... He escapes there and winds up getting snatched by a coachman played by Luke Evans, like live-action Luke Evans, who is... Man, it's so wonderful when you're watching a movie and you see someone up there and it's like, man, that dude is having the time of his life. And Luke Evans is going for it in such the best way. He even gets it's a new song added to the movie about the introduction to the hedonistic paradise that is Pleasure Island before, you know, stuff starts happening. And then, they escape there, go back to try to find Geppetto. But it turns out Geppetto is off trying to find Pinocchio. So they go find Pinocchio. And then, you know, and then there's a sea monster and et cetera, et cetera. Some of these scenes, sort of montage, our introduction to Pleasure Island is fantastic. The whole deal with Monstro, the sea monster, is awesome. Like, it's an awesomely rendered sort of thing. You know, you have these sort of really great looking moments, but it just, I don't know, it just feels kind of hollow. Like, it's a shiny thing with nothing inside, you know, and it's really a bummer because, like I said, I love this story. And, you know, we kind of talked about Tom Hanks. I mean, he's America's dad. So it's like, this is a good fit for him. Like, I kind of wish, you know, the Italian accent kind of fades in and out a little bit. But that's okay. I mentioned Luke Evans as the coachman. He's great. Cynthia Erivo, as the Blue Fairy. She sings, When You Wish Upon a Star. And it's just like, yep. See the, and those are the moments, like the songs that you remember. It's just like, okay, you start to get a little bit of that old energy going. And then, and then they start storytelling again, and it just kind of, it all falls, you know, any momentum they've built through those songs kind of fades away. But yeah, it's a perfectly fine movie that doesn't come close to living up to its inspiration. And so it almost can't help but be a little bit of a disappointment.
Yep.
So you just have to hope that, that people, like, if parents are showing this movie to their kids and this is Pinocchio, you just have to hope that they're like, oh, well, actually, like, here's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
And, you know, and show you the animated version. And lest we forget, it's the year of Pinocchio, because there's another Pinocchio coming.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro's, right. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of it, but it's just like, it's based on the real, like, sort of like folktale-y kind of like, and so it's a very different kind of take on the story. Again, I don't know if I'm ready for it, but I will say this, whether it's good or bad, at least it's trying something. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe one of the bigger sins of this new movie, is it's not really trying to do anything, right, except
hit the cash register.
Yeah. You know, and the fact that they had this sort of big sort of tentpole thing to sort of celebrate their streaming service holiday, which apparently that's a thing. Speaking of, dystopias. That's a thing that we're just gonna have to accept. I look forward to I look forward to Netflix Day, and Hulu Afternoon, Paramount Plus Tea Time. Right.
I can never remember what's the traditional gift for the fourth anniversary of Roku.
Oh God, I don't know. A book.
Yeah, that would be great. Or an old VCR tape.
Yeah, right. A laser disc.
Yeah.
But yeah, so again, Pinocchio, like, it's fine.
It says it all right there. Alan Adams. Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.